For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Welcome into a new episode of Musings on Madison here on the Second City Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Dave Melton, the site manager for Second City Hockey. And this is usually where I plug my Twitter account, but I got my ass banned on Twitter again. So it looks like the Twitter overlords just don't want me to be online anymore, which is probably for the best for me and maybe for everyone else involved. So I guess I'm just not going to have Twitter for a while. So I guess if you want to get my burning Blackhawks thoughts, you're going to have to listen here or check out secondcityhockey.com. But I've got my usual line mates with me this evening, and they're going to help talk me off the ledge because this whole Twitter thing's just annoyed the hell out of me all day long. Up first, it's on Twitter at Shepherd Price. It is the analytics darling of Second City Hockey, Shepherd Price.
Hi, I was going to say that you can have my Twitter if you want. You're a Twitter account.
We'll see. I'll log into yours, and then you will both get banned. So
I am fine with getting banned. I barely use my account as is. I only use it for like when I'm on recap, I need to grab a few tweets.
Yeah.
That's how many goals they score.
I think the mistake I made was logging into a computer at my day job. And that's where I used to have one of the account that got banned initially. And I think they put two and two together really quickly and shut me down. So, oh, well, one of these days. Also with us this evening, and he is to Second City Hockey what Andy Hull is the Manchester Orchestra. It is Mil Savic.
All right, so I got a quick list of sky points I got to get out of the way.
Yeah, yeah.
So sky point every time I die. Sky point the Big Ben era in Pittsburgh. Sky point Bob Saget. Sky point John Madden. I'm a little late on that one. Sky point the Rat, not Dave Bullen, but we have a family friend named the Rat. And sky point Dave's Twitter.
Not a good start to 2022, is it?
Nope. This is like, there's more funerals already this month than there is in all of The Sopranos.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. Rough time around these parts, but hopefully hopefully it's better fortunes for you for the rest of the year, Mil. Hey, Shay, what's your favorite Every Time I Die song?
I like The Butcher and the Blade, which is what Andy Williams wrestles as. He's the butcher in AEW. That's how I know every time I die.
I thought there was a slight chance we might get the new black out of you because maybe you might have played Guitar Hero deep enough to get that song, but I guess not.
Oh.
Also with us this evening, and she is not on Twitter, but you can find all her stuff at secondcityhockey.com under the name LBR, and it is Second City Hockey's bull and wall of text, reunited with her cat. It's Betsy.
Yeah. He's doing well. You know, spoiled, as always. As all cats should be.
Now, did you mainly run out and like load him up with all his favorite foods, or are you like making him wait a week for all the mental anguish he caused you?
No, I'm not waiting to punish him, but we are, you have to like wean them back into eating. Like you have to, you're supposed to do like a certain regimen because apparently if you overfeed them right away, it could cause issues with their organs and all kinds of stuff. So you're supposed, there's like a regimen you're supposed to do if they've been out for more than like 10 days. And since he was out for 16, we're kind of like weaning him that way. My mom is terrible at it. She's like, do you want some shrimp? And I'm like, Mom, stop feeding him table scraps. What are you doing? So we're trying our best. He's doing okay though. So, and he just got a new toy. Cause I had to cut the other one up for the pet detective for her dogs.
Just the phrase pet detective. I still talk to So as we were speaking to you, actually there was supposed to be a Blackhawks game tonight, but it was going to be in Edmonton and the NHL is postponing all games in Canada because of all the attendance restrictions at the moment in Canada. So hopefully it looks like they're within the next day or two, some of those postponed games are going to be announced in February during the 3 weeks that were supposed to be the Olympic break, which obviously the NHL no longer going to those games. So we have 3 days off between now and Friday, which is why we're talking to you this evening. And also we have plenty of games to recap from the last week where the Hawks got a nice tour of the bottom of the NHL standings along, well, where they also are. I believe since we last talked to you, I think it was Tuesday of last week or whatever, but the last three games, they beat Montreal 3-2 in overtime. They beat the Ducks 3-0. And then they lost to the expansion Seattle Kraken on Monday night, 3-2 in the shootout, which, just as you thought, maybe you started feeling a little bit better about the Hawks because they'd won 4 games in a row, and then they go and lose to an expansion team. So I guess where we wanted to start, and this is something we were yelling at, well, let's say politely disagreeing with a comment made by Derek King in the aftermath of the game Monday night. It was related to a lineup situation. They said, I'm going to read this from Ben Pope's Twitter, Ben Pope, the Sun-Times reporter for the Blackhawks. He said, Derek King said that scratching Jakub Galvis from the game on Monday night was, quote, out of respect for Gustafsson, Caleb Jones, and Jake McCabe to get them back in the lineup. But then he went on to say that Galvis definitely turned eyes during his first 3 games and said, quote, he's got a little taste of it now. I believe he was sent back down to the AHL today, right?
Yep.
And then... Yep. But that could also just be a procedural thing to get him games while the Hawks don't play again until Friday. So I guess we'll find out later in the week if that's the case or not. But Shay, I'm going to bring you in first, and I know your phone might be dying at any moment. So if we lose you, we'll make do without. But just your reaction to that thing, because I know that's what we were all talking about before we came on the air here.
Look. Is Caleb Jones a good defenseman? No. Is Jakub Galvis? Maybe. And are the Blackhawks playing guys who there are probably better defensemen in Rockford who are just rotting away in Rockford with higher ceilings? Are the Blackhawks playing guys over them? Yes. Is this a problem? Uh-huh. can they fix this? 100%. Should they? Yes. With the head coach they have right now?
A lot of
can they do that?
I don't necessarily get the idea of
he continues to prove why that is.
Yeah, I don't get the whole like out of respect for I can understand they're veteran players, but I mean it's not like Caleb Jones is going into the Hall of Fame or anything, and I don't think it's a wildly disrespectful that you scratch them for a game when they're not playing well, because that's how you should be treating everybody in your lineup. I'm just that comment just read me the wrong way. So Betsy, I'm gonna spin around to you because I know you had some thoughts on that matter as well.
I didn't even see this quote until you guys were talking about it before we went on air or record. But I had already somebody had mentioned something about it in the comments, and I was like, oh my god, I have so many opinions because Caleb Jones has not looked very good most of the season, and sometimes he's like neutral, but sometimes he's just not good. Mm-hmm. And I was actually I've been disappointed because he had such a good preseason, and I was actually excited, and then it's just been wah wah pretty much other than maybe a handful of games. And then you've got Stillman in the lineup too, who has been meh but has been picking up his game, so I'm okay with him playing. And when it comes to McCabe, I'm okay with him getting in, though, since he did have symptoms, they probably could have let him sit a little bit longer.
I thought they were going to give him a day or two off because he missed a week with COVID stuff.
Yeah, and he did not look up to speed in the game. And then I'm fine with them playing Gus, too, because the Blackhawks have zero offense from the back end when Seth Jones is out, usually. And Stillman's been adding a little bit, so I'm going to give him props there. Gus is the only other person driving play even a little bit from the back end. Without it being lucky, because like I said, Murphy and DeHaan both scored recently, but those are pretty much luck shots. Don't expect it to happen very often. But Caleb Jones isn't a veteran, like you said. He hasn't really played that much more than these other guys. And it's baffling to me that he gets more seniority over these other guys who are around the same age as him. And it's not just Galvis, it's also Kalyanuk and Mitchell.
Yeah, I forgot about Wyatt Kalyanuk a little bit because they
who is, by the way, down in Rockford. Like, he's just so much better than everybody down there offensively. Like, he's like, to watch him, you're just like, but why is he here? And then Mitchell is doing everything that you could ask of him in Rockford, too. So I'm a little like, I don't know if either one of them are legit NHL players, but I don't think anybody in the Blackhawks organization knows because they haven't given them more time. And some people will say, well, Mitchell got a lot of time last year, but he was a full year younger, maybe even two, than Caleb Jones is now. So it's just such a weird, the grass is always greener syndrome that the Blackhawks have with picking older defensemen from other organizations and giving them a ton of rope, but then cutting off their own kids at the knees. And again, do not know if they can make it, but I would rather them start to rotate them in a little bit. Again, doesn't need to be over like the DeHaans and the McCabes. And I don't even care if it's over the Gusses, but it should be over Caleb Jones when he's not playing well. That's just a fact. And I think those are the only two guys in Rockford, for the record, that I think that are, or three guys, excuse me, that now that Galvis is back down there, that are maybe ready for the NHL. I don't think Regula is. I don't think Phillips is. I do not think
Bodan.
I don't think Bodan is either. I think Bodan is hit or miss. He needs more consistency with his game, even in the NHL.
And those three players you named, Regula, Bodan, and Phillips, are younger than the other three you mentioned. So you can give them a little bit more time to marry.
Yes, down exactly. The let them mature. I don't mind them doing that. And then I don't understand why there's a preferential treatment to Caleb Jones other than the fact that he's already been up. But again,
also that he's Seth's brother.
Yes, but like that's the nepotism
that's,
of that.
That's the concern point. is that is the reason, and that is not a good reason.
No.
Mill, I know you had some thoughts too, so go. I'll let you have the floor.
Okay.
he doesn't have thoughts. He has grunts.
First of all, I don't necessarily 100% buy into the brother thing because Taves and Keith both, I think, no, Seabrook, one of them, both had brothers in the organization that didn't even get a fucking look.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm not saying it's not part of it, but like at the same time, it's like,
I would say that more tongue in cheek. Like, I don't think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it feels like it sometimes.
But like, I don't necessarily need him in the lineup, so I don't really care. But this, to me, the offensive defenseman thing is kind of like cutting your face or cutting your nose to spite your face, because, well, I don't disagree with, like, oh yeah, those like Gustafson and Stillman have been better offensively. To me, they both suck in their own end, and like, I'd rather have the defenseman be able to play D before anything else. But again, why the fuck isn't Kalynuk up? He could play fucking all three zones. Or, you know, but the just going back to the quote, it's just like, dude, that's a stupid fucking thing to say. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's such a bizarre. I don't know if Hill to die on, because he wasn't that fervent in his comment, but it's just it's such a weird justification for a roster situation.
We can agree or disagree on who the defensemen in the lineup are, but just what he said was just not well thought out.
Like the logic behind the decision is what I guess I say I don't like, and it seems like we all agree that we don't like.
Well, in your seventh place in the Central and you're three games behind 500, it's like under 500 rather. You need to play your best team to try to even do anything.
Yeah, and that's there's something kind of related to that we're going to come back to in a little bit, kind of in that ballpark. But and any other thoughts or observations from the last handful of games? I mean, you know, I understand the naysayers of the only reason they had a 4-game winning streak is because they played a bunch of bad teams. And like, even though Anaheim had a good record, they're in a tailspin right now as well. So
and without two of their top three scorers.
And without two. So yeah. So I could understand that, but I would also say on the other side of that coin, the Hawks have also been quite capable of losing to bad teams as they proved on Monday. So I don't know what to take away from.
Man, Marc-Andre Fleury is, if they don't, he is earning higher and higher trade value, and I don't know if they're going to trade him, but if they do, they're going to get stuff back, because he is sometimes the only player on the ice. That Seattle game was bad, bad. And he, like, they got a shootout loss because only because of Marc-Andre Fleury.
Mm-hmm. I have non-black. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, this got brought up in the comments because people go back and forth on like what's going to happen with Fleury. And I think it's completely in Fleury's like hands about what happens. I think this was pretty much implied when he came here, that there was a handshake deal, that the reason he came was that he either was planning to stay the whole time or controlled his fate, despite the fact that he only has like he's a modified no trade clause. And it's just a 10 no trade list kind of one. So that's not even that tricky to get around, but the Blackhawks just have to honor. I know Bowman's gone, but they have to honor it, whatever it is. So
I think we touched on this last week. Like, the one guy you can't screw over is Marc-Andre Fleury. Like, all the talk about the Hawks being a class organization and all that. If you want to throw away your reputation, that's one way. I mean, everything else that happened last year, which was a prior regime, but if you want to ruin the reputation for everyone going forward, screw over Marc-Andre Fleury. That'll do it pretty quickly. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with that situation. I don't think anyone does. And I don't even think Marc-Andre Fleury may not even have a decision yet. That might be something we have to wait until like March before we start to get some answers with where he's going to go. The other thing that this related to Marc-Andre Fleury, like, this is as part of the Number Munchers article I wrote and posted at the secondcityhockey.com today, just all about the way the Hawks have played under King. And while they've gotten marginally better in all of the possession-based metrics that get measured, like they're a little bit higher in the share of shot attempts, expected goals, scoring chances, all of that, than they were under Colleton, the primary reason they're still winning games is because since Derek King has taken over, the number one goalie in the NHL in terms of save percentage is Marc-Andre Fleury at, I think, .947 during 5-on-5 play. So it feels like we are watching the same team we've watched for the last 5 years, just with a slightly different cast of characters, in that they are overly reliant on goaltending. And when the goaltending can't do everything, they don't win.
Yeah, Marc-Andre Fleury's probably got like Corey Crawford on speed dial now, and just like complain club.
I will say, if you look at their last seven, they've scored. They you know, aside from Vegas was 2-1 because Vegas is a great defensive team, and Seattle was a 3-2 loss. That was kind of a bogey loss walking into their streak. But they've scored, aside from those two, 3-4, 4-4, 3-3. So like, they're not getting the 1-2 goal games anymore. It's just slightly better. Especially considering the power play is not always good.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not terrible. It's not great, but it's like a little bit better.
If you look at their underlying numbers in those games, they didn't deserve most of those goals. Like,
no.
Like, other than Anaheim, which was an excellent offensive game, like, it was one of their best. It was actually one of the best league like games in the league for them, you know, like it was top 20, I want to say, which is ridiculous considering the Blackhawks are the Blackhawks, but they didn't really deserve some of those goals, other than the fact that they have some elite talent that can occasionally rise above, or some lucky goals, like Stillman's goal was pretty lucky. And I want to say DeHaan's goal, like, hit off two people, you know, like there's been a couple of things that have been pretty lucky. But I was going to point out, you know, I give some credit to King in his ability to have gotten the team to be one, usually typically better defensively. We're not seeing the breakdown as much. That's no, nice.
Not guys and two, right down the middle he, slot.
Like two, like the shots against, they're still terrible possession wise. So like attempts against are still, you know, the bottom half of the league, obviously, but they're I want to say 18th. Okay. So 18th in shot attempts against per 60, 5-on-5, but they are really good at blocking shots at least. So, and cleaning them up afterwards. So their actual shots on goal is 11th best since King took over. That's not bad. You know, that's almost top 10. And then scoring chances, because they're still allowing a fuck ton of chances, like attempts against, it's still like mediocre at 15th, but high danger chances is top 5. So they are helping Marc-Andre Fleury out a lot. Now, I will also point out, though, the last two games have not been like that. They've been terrible, and they went from being the second best in that span to being fourth. That's how bad those last two games were defensively in terms of shot attempts in close.
The Anaheim game in particular, like, they scored two goals during play and then one more in an empty netter. And those two goals they scored during play, with the goalie actually in net, they came right after a crazy sequence of shots and things that, if it was a goalie other than Marc-Andre Fleury, Anaheim might have scored. So, yeah, exactly. Like, that was kind of indicative of the way that things are going. Like, because Fleury made those saves, then they were able to score at the other end. But, you know, if Lankinen had played and wasn't on his game that night, or, you know, or if they were down to like Delia or Soderblom, who's more AHL at this moment, that game might have been significantly different by the end of it. Mill, you were saying something?
For what it's worth, when the Hawks defense started to go downhill a few years back, that's kind of the same thing with Corey Crawford every night.
Well, even the year they got swept by the Predators, that would have been the 16-17 season, like, that team was getting outshot, outchanced every night, but Corey Crawford kept them in the game. Then they would get the goal that
they won 50.
Yeah. Yeah. And they finished, I think that was the year they were the number one seed and Nashville walked in and swept them. They've kind of been that way since that season and on, but like the players in front have like slowly regressed more and more and more. And that's why they've slid down the standings more. And more.
Yeah.
I said this in the comments that I thought that Anaheim game reminded me of the last years under Q, because everything was happening. Everything. It was all good. It was all bad.
It was fun to watch. Like, I was legitimate. Yeah, that was a really entertaining.
You remember those last years with like Panarin was here, and it was like fun to be a Blackhawks fan, even if, because they were still winning pretty decently, and you were like, oh, but gosh, there was so much.
When you put it like that, Panarin's just Henry Hill.
Wow. Nice work. But yeah, I guess the overall thought of the last week was like, it was nice to get some wins, but I'm not even going to use the P word in reference to the games after the initial 82, because their goal differential the last time I looked was still minus 30. And I think
playoffs, we're talking about playoffs.
Yeah.
I didn't even want to say the word, so we're not talking about it. I can guarantee you right now that if like Money Puck has Blackhawks with any percentage of making the playoffs, that's too high.
I'm not even going to entertain the thought, like, after they righted the ship initially after Colleton was fired and King took over, like, you started thinking about it a little bit, but then after they lost six in a row in January to start this, well, the two at the end of December and then the four in a row to start this year, I'd be hard pressed. You find me a team that's lost, had a 9-game losing streak and a 6-game losing streak in the same season and then made the playoffs.
Didn't
the Flyers keep losing 10 and then making the playoffs and then win 10 and lose not the playoffs?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say Money Puck has the Hawks at 2%. Hey, and that's not the lowest. That's not the lowest. There are three teams with 0%. Can you name those three?
Arizona, teams? Montreal,
Arizona,
Seattle.
Yeah, those are those three. Yeah.
Really? I was going to say Ottawa.
And the Hawks have played all three of those teams in the last week and a half.
Ottawa is at 0.7%.
Oh, boy.
Buffalo is at 0.1. So.
I like those odds.
Well, somebody said it really well in the comments. They're like, the Blackhawks are playing just well enough to screw themselves out of even an attempt at the lottery.
We're going to take a quick break really quick. And I want to talk about something kind of looking ahead for the rest of this season and next season and try and figure out what the hell is going to go happen with this team in the next year and a half. Maybe throw out some hypotheticals about where this team could go. So let's do that on the other side of this timeout break. So come on back after this little advertisements.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Welcome back to Musings on Madison here on the Second City Hockey Podcast Network. As promised before the break, I wanted to take a look kind of further down the road. And I know there's a lot of talk out there about potentially blowing up the team. And we've actually had plenty of those conversations on the side amongst ourselves. And we've got three more months of podcasts and hockey going on. So we'll probably get to that discussion at some point. But what I wanted to do today was so since Derek King took over, and I mentioned this in the Number Munchers article today, their record is 14-9-4. That gives you 97 points over an 82 game schedule. Probably get you good enough for a wild card spot. At minimum, you're in contention for one. So my thought was, if you get a higher quality coach in here, and hire a good GM, hire a good coach who tinkers with this roster and maximizes whatever potential exists within this team, I guess I'm trying to decide what that's going to look like next season. Because the most optimistic take I can give for you outside of the blowing it up and starting over road is that you take what you have now, you get rid of the spare parts. So maybe like you trade the spare parts are the expiring contract. So maybe at the deadline this year, you ship out Calvin DeHaan and Eric Gustafson, and you don't bring back Caleb Jones. And then, you promote Kalanuk and Mitchell and Galvis and let them fight out for roster spots. And let's see else on the roster. Maybe you bring back Kubalik for another season. And all of it is to see. Going down this road, like maybe even you somehow get Marc-Andre Fleury back for another season at $3 million. If he tells your team, I'm not leaving Chicago, I'm not uprooting my family again, but I'll play for you guys for another year. If they do all that, I guess, and Betsy, I'll start with you. What's the most optimistic, the deepest you could see this team going with the roster as presently constructed and maybe with a few small additions to it?
So I think all of us were not like high on the team coming into this season, but we felt that the players, the personnel could compete for a wild card spot. And like you just said, under King, who's not a great coach, and with a goalie that's winning a few too many games and the offense not so hot, but I again think that's more systematic than the players, they could be a wild card team. And I always felt like they probably, depending on the team they face, could win a round. But it really, really depends on that team. And it would be better if they were like the number three team, because I don't think they're going to beat like Vegas or somebody or Colorado, whoever is in first in like a round. So wild card doesn't really help. But mostly I think it really depends on like for next year, it's really going to depend on Patrick Kane, because we can sit there and talk about how DeBrincat is the rising star and everything like that, but Patrick Kane is still I use the term the spoon that stirs the offensive drink of the team, because it's true. Despite the fact that he's not scoring as much other than the recent goals, Patrick Kane still drives everything. And I don't think DeBrincat would be scoring as much if Patrick Kane was not consistently with him. Like if he was away from him more, I don't think he would be. That's just because Patrick Kane is the only other high quality player on the team. That's not to say that DeBrincat, if he was say on like Austin Matthews line or somebody else that was also extremely good, that he also still wouldn't be doing great, maybe even better. But I think it still comes down to, there's no replacement for Kane. There's still no replacement for Taves. And so what can you do if either, like if Patrick Kane injury, that whatever is lingering, does not heal properly and he's still slightly declining, there's nothing in the pipeline, and I don't know if there's anything that they can get back trade value wise that could compensate that enough that they could do more than a surprise maybe first round exit, even if they had a better coach.
Yeah, I think you touched on one of the biggest concerns I have, is that even if this team, like next year, say they get it like up to like a, well, it'd be in the central division. Somehow they, you know, if you end up as the 3 seed in the central division, you're still probably playing St. Louis or Colorado or maybe Minnesota in the first round. And I don't think the Hawks are going to be favored in that matchup. More likely that if they sneak into the playoffs, they're probably the 4 seed or like one of the wild card or 4th in the division, which would be one of the wild card spots. And then maybe you're facing again, either St. Louis, Colorado, Minnesota. Doesn't get any easier. It's not, I don't want to come across as sounding like I'm saying this team can contend for a cup next season if everything goes right. Like that, it's going to take a significant development from a lot of people who are not quite showing that so far. Like if Kirby Doc turned into an 80-point player next season, maybe then this team could do that. But that's very optimistic and not something I'm going to put any port of faith in. It was just like you were kind of talking about there, Betsy. Like I don't think Kane's going anywhere before the season is over. I don't think you're going to find anyone that's going to take Jonathan Taves' contract for an entire season at $10 million with where he's at right now. And although he's healthy and playing this season, I'm sure teams are still a little hesitant to take on a $10 million contract of a guy who missed all of last season. Seth Jones' deal, no one's going to take that on. It's like if you bring the band back together and give them a better lead singer / head coach up front, and I'll swing this around to Mill now, like they can be better than just, you know, the 8 seed in the West, right? Like they could maybe get up into like the 5 or 6 range. Can they?
They can, but I think one of the biggest keys to the Hawks, any success they're having, is still in net. I think Marc-Andre Fleury has been able to cover their ass, you know, pretty much whenever they needed him to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think you probably need Marc-Andre Fleury to come back next season in this scenario, honestly.
Right, because if you don't have a Crawford or a Fleury or a guy like that, it's really hard. And like it's a lot like, you know, The Simpsons, where Homer gets pissed off about Bart's earring and he gives it to him. And then he's in the Navy and there's like the pinhole leak in the submarine. He pulls out the earring and saves their lives. That's kind of what Marc-Andre Fleury is. He's like that little diamond that saves your life. That's the best way I could describe it. It's like, to me, it's still, there's a lot of issues and there's a lot of things that have been better. Some things have been worse, but I think, they've been living and dying with goaltending so long, and they might be able to make the playoffs without him if they play better and have a better coach. But I don't think that they, like Betsy said, I don't think they get past like a Vegas or a Colorado or, you know, what have you.
Yeah. I think it's just, it's me. This is my, you know, almost irrationally trying to talk myself into some sort of good thing coming out of this part of the Taves and Kane era. Like obviously the first half of it was a lot of success, and this back half of it has just been misery every season. And like, I don't know if I'm ready to go from all of that and then into like a 5-year rebuild, because that it feels like it's going to be a very long rebuild if they go that route. So I'm just trying to like, the thought was like you bring the band back together next season, get a better coach in place, maximize whatever you have on this roster, ship out the aspiring contracts, bring up some of the younger guys, maybe sign a good, like, good quality veteran or two and see what you can do. Like, I don't envision much. Like, maybe a surprise first round playoff upset, they get bounced in the second round, but honestly, I would take that. Like, I feel like there's some point, like, I don't necessarily buy into the mindset of championship or bust in professional sports. I get it's a business and all that, but at some point, like, I just need something to watch other than what I've watched the last five seasons. And I'm not quite ready to buy into a full on tear it down and start all over again thing. Cause I remember how awful the early 2000s were.
I don't think they will. I just want to throw this out there. If you look at, you know, take away the Colorados and Vegas and Pittsburghs and all these flashy good teams, or New York or whatever, if you look at their own division, they're getting their ass kicked by all these teams they're going to have to compete with again next year. So I don't think that they're going to want to go into rebuild mode and be down there with the Coyotes.
Well, because that's where they are right now.
Right. And it's like, if you tear this team down, how much worse are you?
Well, the thing is, if you tear it down, like, how much, I don't know how many assets you're going to get in return. So, Shay,
not much.
Shay, I'll throw this around to you because I know you've been ardent on the blow it up thing. But on the other side of the coin, if the Hawks somehow decided to keep this out and maximize what they've got right now, what does it look like next season?
Hey, it's me, the person who correctly and only person here who before the season said the Blackhawks were not going to make the playoffs. They are going to get another year older, and a lot of their key pieces are on the wrong side of 30, and Marc-Andre Fleury is approaching 40. And that's none of that is improvement. The Blackhawks are not going to be good next year. Time to get that drilled in. It doesn't matter. Like, they are not two veteran pieces away from anything. They're not. They are trying. They're trying, and they're second worst in the division to the Coyotes.
Can I point out, like, one, like, so we're talking about these good teams. We keep saying St. Louis.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'd like to point out that St. Louis is a terrible metric team. Like, they're winning because
it's force of habit because they won a cup recently. But yeah.
No, but, and they're also high in our division. Like, but so St. Louis is the type of team that I'm taught, like, they have bad numbers, but they have such a good coach and they have just enough.
Yeah, they have good. They have a good coach. And do you know what else they have? They have really good defense. You know how they got that really good defense? They developed it. You know what the Blackhawks can't do with young players? Develop them.
And I 100% agree with that. But I don't think that the Blackhawks are that far away from if they had a good.
The two most important things in the 2022 NHL are depth. And
see Seth Jones, Murphy, and McCabe, specifically those three, under a coach that not only knows how to have, like, defensive players play defense well, but also can utilize them in a way that helps spring the offense, because Seth Jones can do it and he's doing well under not a NHL coach right now. And then McCabe has shown flashes, and we know Murphy's good. So you've got half of a defense right there that could do well. I don't know if they'd be as good as the players on the, I mean, look, what's his name? Dude who came from Carolina. Why am I blanking on this? Falk. He was terrible with Carolina for the last couple of years, but he's turned it around under a good defensive, like, a good coach that knows how to, like, run a defense. So my thing is that we can look at this roster and say, no, I don't think it could happen. But then I look at St. Louis's roster and I think the Blackhawks aren't that far off from them, Ryan O'Reilly is still exceptional and stuff like that. Yes.
Blues also have better depth and
of course actually, they do. And in fact, they have a much better farm system too. But I'm saying, looking at the two rosters as they are, like, the best, the top 12 forwards, the top 60, the top 60, I don't think they're so far apart outside of maybe Ryan O'Reilly. Being exceptional still. Like, he's by far the best player defensively forward. Like, I think he could be better. I think he might be better than Patrick Kane right now, just because Kane's hurt. But I'm just saying, I don't think they're so far off or performing that differently outside of the fact that their coach is that much better. And the problem, of course, is can the Blackhawks ever find a coach that is as good? I don't know if that's...
They could have.
It's what Dave was saying earlier. There are so many things they need to hit on.
Yeah.
That it seems like a slim margin. It's not impossible. It's just hard to see right now because we're so in the weeds with this team.
It's just, if I could summarize the entire argument that I have, it's like, obviously the Jeremy Colleton era did not work out. Derek King.
You think?
Yeah, you're right. Derek King, like he righted the ship. He made sure they stopped plummeting to the bottom of the ocean like they were, but he's probably not the long-term option. This era of Blackhawks hockey, the last 4 to 5 years, has not had a good coach at any point. So I want to see what it looks like with a good coach. That's all I want. Just give me
like the White Sox.
Yeah.
Hey, put some respect on Ricky Renteria's name.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, the worst Ricky Renteria.
But it's like a similar, yeah, and I know with the White Sox, it didn't work out as well. They did, but they ran into that Houston buzzsaw, but that's another story. But
okay, but like that, they could have beat that Houston buzzsaw if they were better managed than Tony La Russa.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm still upset about it, and I hope I have baseball to be upset about in 2 months because...
I don't know.
Yeah, let's not go down that road. I'm already depressed enough by talking about this Chicago team. But like, just getting back to the point, like, let me see what this team can do with a decent NHL coach.
Okay, tell me who they're hiring.
I don't know.
That's not my part is that's not my job. I don't care. Like,
we also have to address the fact that they have to find a competent GM first because it's not how they
that was the whole idea. Get a good GM in here, a good coach in here, and see if you can squeeze more out of this roster than you've been able to do the last four seasons. And if it doesn't work, if you're in last place come New Year's Eve in 2022, blow the whole thing up in next year's trade deadline. I'm fine with that. But I still feel like this team has underperformed based on the talent it has on the roster for four seasons now. And give me a coach who can make sure they don't underperform anymore and then blow it up.
Not just that they underperformed, they steadily got worse over those 4 years. Like, they should have been getting better.
Yeah, you can't look at like some of the roster decisions that were made that happened. Like, fucking Manning was in there, and you can't tell me that they haven't gotten. You can't tell me that the top four currently, like when they're healthy, aren't better than anything that happened between, you know, after Jean Michel left, you know, and before Murphy became Murphy, because there was like a year where Murphy was not good with the Blackhawks, and then the year after that, finally it like clicked, and it was because he was real young still, but. I'm just saying, like, you cannot look at some of those previous defenses and go, yeah, this defense is just as bad. I refuse to acknowledge that somebody would say that. So I'm not saying it's great. I'm just saying I think the talent in the roster could compete at least a little bit better. And there are other teams that prove this too. Calgary is a perfect example. I mean,
yes, just, that's...
They need a true number four, though. The Blackhawks need a true number four because right now they have three defensemen. You're right; they don't have four.
Well, maybe Galvis is the number four.
But I mean, Calgary has.
But they don't play Galvis. They just sent that he literally benched him because of respect for other defensemen.
Right? That's the point, Jay. You bring in a good coach that will play him.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. We're saying bring in a coach that will recognize that. But we understand.
You have to guarantee that it's a good coach. You have to guarantee that like Rocky isn't going to want a TLR.
That's why this is a hypothetical.
Hey, you know what? To summarize,
I'm not saying it's going to happen.
And I'm staying grounded and realizing that like they would have to find like the perfect coach.
I mean, I'm available. I remember
talking to the Calgary people like. They felt that their team the last few seasons had wildly underperformed. They brought in Daryl Sutter, and they're having a much, much better season right now.
Talk to the like Wild. That. Talk to Wild people.
Yeah.
Perfect example.
I just want to see what it looks like with a better coach. And if they mess up with the coach and GM hire, this team will be in last place again, and then we can figure out what they're going to get in a trade for Patrick Kane. But I know I'm kind of hoping against hope. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be like a cup contending team, but just give me something that makes it into the first round of the playoffs. Like I joined this site like a week after they got swept by the Predators. I haven't written about playoff hockey. 2020 doesn't count. I haven't written about playoff hockey, and I would love to get the chance to do that. Go ahead, Betsy.
I was just, it's all hypothetical. We all know this. I can't help but look at other rosters that aren't that much better, or, you know, there's so many that can at least make it. Like the Penguins are the perfect example during their mediocre years, where they were pretty much just being driven by Crosby, Malkin, and a decent coaching staff. Not a great coaching staff, because until Sullivan came back, but They rode that wave of mediocrity through the playoffs for a while, and with bad personnel, until they built up their farm team again. I don't think that was out of the question for the Blackhawks, and Bowman just kind of like didn't do it properly. Like, 1 year of rebuild.
He kept drafting for size.
He started to, yeah. Skill. I mean, and that's, we can talk about how they're making roster decisions based on the coaches that they had that weren't good. And so that also impacted them, but it's a big hypothetical about whether they can actually find a good coach. I think they exist. I think they might not be in it might not be a retread name. It could be somebody new. It could be somebody in the AHL that was an assistant at one time. It could be whatever. We don't know yet. I just think that the person currently has more potential than what the previous coaching staff and this current coaching staff have gotten out of them. And that's the only point I wanted to make.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question? If they hire a coach out of the AHL, Dave, can you ask SB if I can write an article called "Oh No, Not Another One of These Fucking Guys"? Because I don't think I'm mentally ready for that ship if it fails. I get where you guys are coming from. They're out there, but the Hawks don't know how to find them.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not an easy job. But again, this is professional sports. No one said it's going to be easy. That's why you get paid a shit ton of money.
Maybe. You've got to at least get somebody who knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
Right. You need a Poho. You need a really competent Poho.
The worst part is that some of the best coaches that are out there that are working with GMs and stuff like that, they were in the Blackhawks organization. Sullivan is a perfect
Sullivan. Yeah.
I'm just like,
'cause you look at like the Penguins should be by all rights bad this year, like real bad. They've missed Crosby for half the season. They've been missing Malkin. They're one of like the best teams in their division, and that's solely because their goaltending is really bad. That's solely because of Mike Sullivan, who's arguably
yeah. I was going to say their performance is sustainable too, because they great with possession. Their expected goals is super great, and all this. A good coach can make even like lesser rosters do well. And I don't think I think the Blackhawks could put together more than just a mediocre roster. I don't think everybody should stay, and they need to stop pretending like they're just going to find another Hagel, and everybody who like hustles a little bit, it's going to be Hagel.
They hit their Hagel quota. You get one of those guys per team. There's Collins, Shaw, like you get one.
Yeah.
They might overlap for a minute, but
I was going to say when Shaw was rising, Boland was going down, you know, like that's just.
Yeah. Well, it's not that Boland was getting worse. Boland was so goddamn injured.
I was about to say he was getting hurt.
It's a curse.
I'm still upset that David Boland's like career was derailed by injuries, because I feel like he might've been like a 50, 60 point guy consistently if he didn't get hurt. But
I mean, before
he still won two cups though. So,
he was playing really good in Toronto before he hurt his wrist.
Yeah.
But you can't take away from him that he had the Stanley Cup winning goal.
That's true. And then he got sent off on a godforsaken conditioning assignment.
Really quickly, before we dive into some food stuff, I know I've mentioned this to you guys before, so I want to know if you have watched this during games now, or if I'm just making shit up. I swear to God, whenever Brandon Hagel is on the ice with Patrick Kane, all he does is pass to Patrick Kane. Have you guys noticed this, or is it just me being crazy?
Didn't he just score a goal in the last game from Kane?
I feel like whenever Hagel gets the puck, his immediate thing is get the puck to Kane, which isn't necessarily a bad strategy, but he does it too much, and I feel like he's forcing the puck to Kane, and the puck is getting turned over whenever Hagel and Kane are on the ice.
I think that's a problem with all the young players.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's the Doc. Part of Doc's problem is that he
will not shoot.
Yeah. Specifically when he's if you look at his shots away from Kane, he's better at it. And part of it is because they keep trying to force it. Reichel did it in the first game too, and he was much better in game two, which was why I was like, okay, maybe you finally found a young guy that won't, that's not like DeBrincat. DeBrincat's the only other, and he did it his first year a little bit too, but
yeah, you know. That's why when he and Panarin played together, because Panarin was like that good hockey ego of, I want the puck because I'm going to score.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, guys, when you get online with Patrick Kane, they're like, no, I got to give the puck to Kane. Like, no, like you got to do it. This is a.
Panarin had
such a good quote. Patrick Kane is a setup guy.
Yeah.
Patrick or Panarin had such a good quote once that was like, when he got to the Rangers, he goes, well, now I'll have the puck more because I'm not playing with Kane or something like that. He was like, he's like, it's mine now. I remember being like, oh, that's cute.
You know,
I wish he was
here. I was going to say, like, you know, like with the, it's weird when Kane and Taves came up, obviously they're, you know, nowhere, or these guys are nowhere near them as rookies, but they shot all the time because the rest of the team was kind of like dog shit. But I think when you come up and you're like, oh, these are guys I watched growing up and they won all these cups, it's like probably intimidating, but it's like, hey, like you're open in the slot. Shoot. Yeah. The worst that can happen is they save it or there's a deflection and maybe we get a garbage goal.
Yeah. There's a medium between getting the puck to your good players and forcing it to them. And I feel like Brandon Hagel, which is a symptom of other young players. I just noticed it. I feel like I noticed it now with Hagel that they're forcing the puck to Kane and it's not working out well for anyone.
Somebody needs to sit him down and be like, Hagel, you're not like Carpenter. Okay. Carpenter should probably always, like, he could pass a lot more.
Defer, yeah.
It's fine if you defer. It's like when Bolig was on the team. It's like, Bolig, if you're on a 2-on-1 with Patrick Kane, which happened occasionally, and then Bolig would shoot, and you're like, why did you do that, sir? Hagel, you're not that. You can shoot.
I'm thinking of Letterkenny when the coach is yelling at the guys who aren't Riley and Jonesy for taping up a stick. You're not a, you don't need it.
Oh my God. You know, when you brought up that Boland situation, my blood's getting hot just remembering that.
Blitz. Okay. All right. Well, let's move it on. Let's move along before Mill has a heart attack. So quickly, let's dive into some food stuff really quick. We're just going to talk about fast food chicken restaurants because I've got thoughts on most of them because I feel like I've been to as many as possible because I mean, what's better than fried chicken? Not many things in life. So I just want to go around the room and let's now, Mill, I know you're, is it vegan or vegetarian? I forget.
I just don't eat meat. I'm like,
okay, you don't eat vegetarian. Meat. Which, I all right, fish. So we'll come back to you. But I'm going to start with Shay. Just give me your best fast food chicken option. And I'm going to tell you if you're right or wrong.
Popeyes.
Betsy, what about you?
Popeyes.
Oh yeah. See, damn it. I was going to. Because I feel like Popeyes is the number one, but
yeah, it's the best chicken sandwich. It's
are you sure about that? Because
I've had what are you putting up against it? What are you putting up against?
Have you ever had the Culver's chicken sandwich? I know
Culver's is the problem with Culver's is that it's not a national chain.
Have you guys ever had Shake Shack's chicken sandwiches? Because theirs are like really close.
Yeah, okay, but theirs is going to be way more expensive than Popeyes.
It's very true. Yes.
Well,
but bang for your buck, it's Popeyes.
I'm not worried about price here. It's about quality. I'll pay $10.5 million for the. I was trying to make some sort of cane reference here.
What about like Bojangles to Popeyes?
See, that's what I was going to add because
really
I
like another non-national chain.
I had Bojangles last fall, and I thought it kind of sucked. And
really?
I like
Bojangles.
Is that, yeah, I don't know if that's slanderous to people in the South that I said Bojangles was no good.
I'm not going to lie, though. It's hit or miss sometimes. Sometimes you're going to bite into it and it's going to be like, that is way too much spice. And then sometimes you're going to bite into it and you'll be like, even on the same chicken leg, you'll be like, why is this so disproportionate? And I don't think the quality of Popeyes is like that. Popeyes is usually pretty.
No. All right. I think I
want to. The best availability is availability. You know what Popeyes is? Available.
I don't know which Popeyes you've been to, Jay, but the ones are out here. Like, I'm not going to Popeyes for service, so I'm gonna have to wait a half an hour to get my chicken sandwich from Popeyes. But
and they might mess it up.
All right, and we're all right. I think I'm going to reframe this because I think the obvious, like Popeyes, is clearly like the best here. But let's just run down the list and just I want to get some more thoughts on some of these other places because more and more I keep coming back to KFC being trash.
I will say KFC is what lured my cat in.
No, yeah. That's, it's cat
it's good
food.
For cats.
KFC yeah. is cat food. All right.
Apparently, I think the problem with KFC it's basic.
Apparently, it's very like whatever they do is a very strong smell, which also I guess can turn people off the chicken. But that's the reason. Apparently, a lot of like trap and release programs are like KFC is your last choice because most cats can't resist it. Mm-hmm. So
KFC actually stands for cats. It's cat fried chicken. I know it's spelled wrong. Don't at me because you can't because I don't have Twitter anymore. What about Raising Cane's?
Oh, I like Raising Cane's.
Good. Yeah. They need to bread their chicken more strongly.
What I'm trying to decide with Raising Cane's is like it comes back to the Chick-fil-A argument and calm down, Chair. We're going to get to them in a second. But I want to know if Raising Cane's is just about scarcity driving the demand of it because it's not very widespread.
I don't think so.
It's good, but I don't...
We live in an age that like adores chicken tenders and they have really good chicken tenders.
Yeah. And I'll say there's only like two places that have like a sauce that goes on their chicken when you're getting their sandwich and it's them and Zaxby's and their sauce is superior to Zaxby's, even though I like Zaxby's too.
It's just Thousand Island dressing, isn't it? Like I had the Raising Cane's sauce and it didn't strike me as anything.
It's not Thousand Island.
It's not.
No, it just. No.
I like it better than Zaxby's sauce. That's all I'll say.
And I
like
also, I had Zaxby's in the fall. It was also good.
I'm not going to lie. I get those little nibblers, the little three. It's like there's like three Zaxby's in the town that I live in right now with my mom.
Yeah. So. I think the closest one to where we are is in Knoxville, Tennessee, because that's where I had it.
Oh, wow.
I think in Lexington, Kentucky.
Almost. There's definitely three here because there's one by our house, there's one on the exit and on the other exit.
All right.
I love their Zaxby's.
Before we wrap this up, I think we're all going to be united in this one as well. I was hoping for more confrontation out of this argument. I guess it didn't work out, but first of all, like Chick-fil-A's politics are
shit.
But also it's not that good. They just opened one within like a few towns over from me. It's like a 5-10 minute drive. The line is never not around the fucking building. Where are you people? How are you so deprived that Chick-fil-A is the place you're going to wait 20 minutes for?
Not only is their sandwich not as good, but their like little nuggets are trash. Like I don't really understand why people like them.
I didn't think it was that good. And then I thought it was good. And then they started slowly moving up I-65 in Indiana into our area. And now they are here. And now I have no desire to ever go to one because there's just, it's fine. I'd rather go to McDonald's and get their chicken, honestly.
True. Yeah. McDonald's also, chicken is better.
Also, it's pickle juice, guys. It's like, that's the secret.
Pickle juice. Sorry. We've ruined Chick-fil-A. Trying to think if there's any other, I think those are the main options. I guess we'll have to pick a food topic next week. We can argue about more because it's hard to fuck up fried chicken. Even Chick-fil-A's is like a decent meal.
Yeah, if it's there and you didn't have to pay for it.
Yeah, I would. KFC.
If they didn't get my money. Yeah.
KFC is more like it's more like convenience than anything else. It's like I can go there, get the drive through, be out of there in 30 seconds.
If you're going to a place that has a bucket chicken, Church's Chicken is better than.
Oh KFC. Yeah. Yeah, wildly
underrated. I feel like they're always fucking giving away Chick-fil-A like when I'm golfing and someone's having a tournament.
That's a sponsor like, shit. They have to give it away, Mel.
No, they sponsor a bunch of crap.
Well, like that's no, it. Like it might be like somebody else who sponsored it because they're all weird. But like it might be them. I don't fucking know. I don't need a chicken anyway. But like I was just fucking like I'll be golfing and I'm like, what is going on here?
What's Mel? Really quick, what's the best replacement chicken option?
It depends on what you want to make.
Well, like, I mean, I like fast food places. Is there one that has like their like?
They're just coming out now. I haven't tried any of them yet.
All right, we'll check back in.
I will say like, all the ones I make at home that you buy frozen are fine. Like they're good.
Okay.
But I also feel like I've had all these places you guys are talking about, so I could talk about them. Like I know what they all taste like. I just
you. So you've only recently decided to get away out.
I think I'm on like year five or six. Oh. Six.
Okay.
So I had chicken for 24 years, 23 years.
All right, Mill. So, but you still had like 2 decades of experience. So, like, do you have a list? Like, what was your go-tos then out of your memory?
All right, I'll just say this: Popeyes is like the clear-cut winner.
Okay.
The only thing is they fuck your order up all the time.
That's true. The last time I went to Popeyes, I ordered 3 things and didn't get any of them. I got 3 other things.
Yeah, like
Popeyes. As we discussed earlier, you don't go to Popeyes for service.
Popeyes service is shit, but to quote Little Nicky, Popeyes chicken is fucking awesome. Anyways.
Great. Great
little and then,
I did not expect that.
Yes. KFC used to be good like 15 years ago, and then it got shitty.
I don't know what happened there, but man.
Yeah, it used to be all right.
It's more like out of
Yum Brands ownership.
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
And then I'll just say, like, McDonald's was always fine, like, especially if you're like your day after drinking or something, or if you're in a pinch. Not great, but you know, never like it was consistent, if anything.
They have my preferred breakfast sandwich because I like their
respect.
That's a good call. That's a good call.
And then I'll say that Chick-fil-A's food is trash and not good. And yeah, I think that's most of them, right?
Yeah. Well, there's one other one I think Shane mentioned. Oh,
Burger King chicken fries. That was one of my favorites. And Dairy Queen chicken basket. Those are the two I ate the most.
You and my 13-year-old nephew love chicken fries because that's what he wants every time they're like fast food.
It's called Middle of Teenager.
Dude, Dairy Queen chicken basket with the Texas toast. Like, that was the shit.
Yeah.
That's what Raising Cane's is probably very similar to that, then.
Probably.
They're one of their big things is Texas, really good Texas toast.
I fuck with Texas toast.
Shay, you had one more that you wanted to throw out. That's
yeah. Shout out to Brown's Chicken.
Isn't that a Chicago area thing though, right?
Or I think it's a Chicago area thing. Yeah. I think best hush puppies I've ever had.
They the one that was by us, or I guess by Mill and I here in the region, recently closed down. I don't even know where the nearest Brown's Chicken is anymore.
It closed down a while ago, didn't it?
Yeah, it's a taco place now.
All respect.
I was going to mention that all the chains that we have talked about, when I'm in Atlanta, I don't eat any of those because there are so many like Southern restaurants that do fried chicken or chicken much like as good or better than them. It's only when you're outside the perimeter of Atlanta do you like I said, there's like 3 Zaxby's within like 15 miles of me right now.
If you have the option to like go to like an actual Southern restaurant that isn't
yeah, but it, absolutely it's just that. So weird. If we had had this discussion pre-pandemic, I would have been like, oh, it's been so long since I've had Popeyes, I might not even remember. But I had Popeyes 3 days ago.
that's a product of are you in a suburb now?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because Shay's in a city, but the rest of us are all in suburbs. I think that is a symptom of being in the suburbs. Unfortunately, there's not enough local places, especially for chicken. I feel like there's not enough local chicken joints. Like, there's plenty in Chicago. Like, there's one place, I'm pretty sure it's local to Chicago, called Parsons, that is phenomenal. But, not enough suburbs, unfortunately.
Dave, you might remember, like, when I was growing up, until it closed, basically, we'd get Broncos fried chicken once a week.
Oh yeah. Sky Point. Another Sky Point. God damn.
Yeah. Well, right. Okay. I have some inside info I'll give you later on that.
Okay.
might be making a comeback.
Oh, that's what I like to hear. We're big fans of comebacks on this podcast, especially if they're food related. All right. I think that's enough for one discussion. Yeah. Well, one of these, you know, I think in hindsight, bring up fried chicken, like it's going to lead to a lot of agreement. So we just got to find something that we can all yell at each other about again, just as the American dream to argue with people over on something over the internet. So we'll see. We'll get to work on that. But other than that, it'll do it for this episode of Musings on Madison here on the Second City Hockey Podcast Network. I'm not on Twitter anymore. Sky Point. Shay's on Twitter at Shepherd Price. Mill's at Mill182. Betsy's not on Twitter. You can find her name or find her work at secondcityhockey.com under the name LBR. I'll probably be running the Second City Hockey Twitter account now even more than before. That's at 2ND City Hockey. And stay tuned to the website because we're going to keep writing and talking and recapping games and previewing stuff. And whatever it is this team does, we're gonna write and talk about it because that's kind of our thing around these parts. So thank you again for listening. And thanks to the rest for hanging out. For Shay, for Mill, for Betsy, I'm Dave. Go Hawks.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.